that's one and the same.
Ever since you told me
there's only room for two, I've been making less room for you.
Now only God can hold me.
Hug me, love me, judge me. The only man that hovers above me. Holler.
I met so many men and it's like they're all the same. My appetite for loving is now my hunger pain. And when I'm feeling sexy, who's gonna comfort me? My only problem is their insecurity.
Tired of being alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting arguing on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're telling all your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But your nigga don't understand my love.
Cause I'm real.
The way you walk, the way you move, the way you talk. Style your
hair.
The way you smile, the way you smell, it drives me wild. And I can't go on without you.
I've been thinking about this relationship, and I wanna know, is it as good as it gets? Cause we've been through the worst times and the best times, but it was our time, even if it was part time. Now they've been looking at me, smiling at me, laughing like we wasn't happy, but not knowing that we're growing and we're getting married. Hard loving and straight thugging, bitch, I ain't doing this shit for nothing. I'm here to get it popping, hopping. Let's ride out in the Benz, head blowing in the wind, sun glistening on my skin. Hey, I'm nasty, you know me, but you still gon' fuck with your baby.
I'm real.
The way you walk, the way you move, the way you talk.
I'm real.
The way you stare, the way you look, you style your hair. The way you smile, the way you smell, it drives me wild.
I'm real.
And I can't go on without you.
Now people loving me and hating me, treating me ungratefully, but not knowing that they ain't making or breaking me. My life, I live it to the limit and I love it. Now I can breathe again, baby, now I can breathe again. Now people screaming what the deal with you and so. I tell them niggas mind their biz, but they don't hear me though. Cause I live my life to the limit and I love it. Now I can breathe again, baby, now I can breathe again.
Tired of being alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting arguing on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're telling all your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But your nigga don't understand my love.
Cause I'm
style your
hair.
The way you smile, the way you smell, it drives me wild. And I can't go on without you. The way you walk, the way you move, the way you talk. The way you stare, the way you look, you style.
Good morning, guys. That was Ja Rule featuring Jennifer Lopez. Or
wait,
vice versa. It's the other way around.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Ashanti?
No.
Oh.
It was J-Lo.
What?
Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, that song is titled I'm Real, as was the Firefest. So today, we're coming to you live from Great Exuma.
It's beautiful.
We're here in our FEMA tent. It's
a pig just bit me.
That's a different island, Jess. You didn't pay for the add-on. anyway, today, as you may tell from our gleeful tones, we are talking about the two competing Firefest documentaries. I would like to say there's room in my heart for both.
And seven more if anyone wants to make them.
Yeah, absolutely. If And if Bella Hadid would like to release her cell phone footage, I'm here for it. I think we could make that a long form documentary too. But this is TV on the Radio, as I mentioned, coming to you from the beautiful island of Great Exuma in the Bahamas. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jessica. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, Leah.
Thanks so much for getting that private jet for us to get us here.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was really something. I don't even...
So, the Firefest, huge disaster.
Yes.
People scammed out of thousands, millions of dollars. But was it all worth it?
Oh, my God.
For the glee.
The most enjoyment I have ever gotten from a festival I did not attend.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe from a festival, even from a festival I have attended. Like, probably more enjoyment than I've ever gotten from any festival in my life. Yeah, it's a wild ride. Life is a rich tapestry, you guys. And this was really something. So in true Firefest fashion, mm-hmm. we all knew that there were two documentaries coming. I was shocked, absolutely shocked, to hear about the Netflix documentary like mere months ago and then to find out it was dropping in January. Mm-hmm. And then Hulu undercut them by releasing theirs on like a Monday. And it was so exciting.
Yeah.
It was so good, guys.
The drama continues.
The drama continues. Firefest is just going to be enshrined in drama and in our national consciousness forever. Never forget, guys. I watched the Hulu one mere minutes after I arrived home from work on Monday.
Same.
I could not wait. And it was a true delight.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was an absolute delight. It featured Gia Tolentino as one of the talking heads. I don't know how Gia Tolentino got looped in. I mean, she wrote a lot about Fire Festival when it happened.
That must have been why. And encapsulated,
yeah, and encapsulated the Schadenfreude that we all like took. I mean, we were talking before the show. I still can feel that like vicarious joy that I had in my body reading all those tweets from people at Firefest that weekend in 2016. It seems like.
It was 2017.
Was it? Yeah. Whatever. So yeah, fine. It could have been 2016. Didn't happen in either year.
Well,
so.
What? That's a good point. One of the I think the Hulu documentary kind of tied it to like this moment in like when tickets were going on sale and it was like blowing up on social media because of their use of fancy influencers.
Yeah.
They kind of tied it to that historical moment, like right after the Trump inauguration and like a moment of existential crisis for the world. And I don't know. Half of the people who are pimping it on social media probably didn't even know who was president.
or care because it does not affect any of them. So yeah, the Hulu documentary is called Fire Fraud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a take on wire fraud, I assume, because that's what he was.
Oh man, put I away didn't even get that.
I assume because that's what Billy McFarland, the visionary genius who co-opted Ja Rule,
should have been discouraged more as a child
and an adult, and who truly seems to live in an alternate reality. When I saw the Hulu documentary, I was like, oh, this guy's brain damaged. Like, this makes a lot more sense now. But having expanded my worldview and having seen the Netflix documentary called Fire, the Greatest Festival That Never Happened, or something like
greatest
that.
Greatest Party That Never Happened.
I now see he's not actually brain damaged. He's just a sociopath and maybe stupid.
I mean, it's kind of like one of those perfect storms of like, he's a sociopath, a born scammer who like has been trying to pull scams since he was literally a child.
Yes.
And like they talked about his crayon business that he was like trying to sell his services as a crayon repairman in second grade and like hacked into the school's computer to advertise his services.
Yeah.
And his parents reflect on this. It was like, oh, he was like a natural businessman and like always, you know, and it's like, no, you should have told your child to stop being a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Like
the crayons are the property of the school.
Yeah, exactly. Yours. Selling public goods and trying to profit off of them.
Also,
and this just continued into college. He had an app in college called Spling that to me sounded suspiciously like Woof from The Office. It's like it sends your social media blast to all platforms or something. Like, literally something that was a joke on a sitcom is his app in college. Yeah. That it sounded like a failure, and yet he still bounced back. He had this credit card scamming business that they detailed in both documentaries, and I still don't understand what that.
All they do is they take your debit card and they change it into a magnetic card called magnesis, which this man cannot pronounce the word crayon. And
crayon.
And and his company, he admitted on a documentary that he spelled the word the wrong way. I mean, and it just should have been penis is the name of his thing. Like, it, they made your debit card into this black heavy aluminum card and branded it with Magnesis, so you use that and then you pay to and be a member something. In Magnesis and then you get a clubhouse, which
just
of course
the definition of nothingness.
This asshole was like, when I moved to New York, I needed people to tell me where to go. I wanted to know where to go and where to hang out. And like, yes, of course you do. Because, that's your entire life is, it's really
it's like
something.
Just one Potemkin's village after another.
Just
and
scams all the way down. Yeah. All the way down. Literally everything this man has done has just been like, there's an island. Let's like just piggybacking on something.
It makes complete sense. This is the natural like climax of a life spent coming up with things where there's the visage of something and it's actually nothing.
It's a real indictment of the tech industry as a whole that this can even be a thing. Like, everybody has a phone. Like, now my app gives your phone a paper bag. You know, like, it's just stupid. Like, it's so dumb. But I will say the thing that, so I didn't realize this from watching the Hulu documentary, but Fire actually started as sort of a media platform, Fire Media, for booking talent
even
for something.
That though, like, do you know what you need to book talent? The money. Then you find the email address, and if you have the right amount of money, you can book the talent. There's no secret. You don't need an app. It's not like people were like, Kanye would be playing everywhere if only we could get him through an app. Like, no, Kanye will come when you have the money to pay Kanye.
Jess, if you build the app, Kanye will come, okay? That's how these things work. But anyway, I didn't realize that from the Hulu documentary that Fire Media was a thing before Firefest.
I think they touched on it, but it was much more focused on the Netflix documentary.
And that's, let's get into that a little bit, because there's sort of like the differences between the two documentaries and why I have room in my heart for both, and I feel everybody should, is because Fire Fraud is more of a, it's focused a lot more on Billy McFarland. They actually interviewed Billy McFarland for the documentary, and it's kind of like a 30,000 foot view of I don't know, him and his like history of being a scammer and like his whole through line on scams, and like it doesn't delve into the like real dirt of what happened that made Firefest such a disaster.
Right. It kind of focused on the like on the lead up to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And kind of the artistry of the getting influencers to help create this whole
vision. And how this this time that we're alive, like what a wild time to be alive. Like somebody can post a orange tile and it becomes this like
I was
viral
gonna post
sensation.
That on our Instagram.
So that's the Hulu documentary. And then the Netflix documentary is actually much more like granular detail about the festival. Yeah. It was produced by the guys, the Jerry Media.
Fuck Jerry.
Fuck Jerry.
Which I had never heard
Again,
of.
Again, also a scam. Like this media company evolved from memes.
Yeah.
Like you post a meme on the internet and then you're like, let's make a media company out of this. Now I'm qualified to do everything. I don't know, but Mick Brzezinski could get it. That's all I have to say about that.
Which one was he?
The lead guy, the owner.
Of Fuck Jerry?
Yeah. He was in the Netflix
documentary. I have a different name in my notes here.
Who knows? But anyway.
That guy with the super punchable face?
Oh, everybody had a super punchable
face. I know, that doesn't narrow it down.
Mick Basinski, I found physically attractive, if not
okay. All right,
well, morally we'll repugnant.
Circle back to this.
Yeah. But anyway, so the Netflix documentary is a lot more granular. It really goes back to... there's a lot of footage from Fuck Jerry because they were, you know, the media... I don't even know what the media company involved in producing something is supposed to do.
Yeah, that's... arose as one of the alleged conflicts of interest in the Netflix one is Fuck Jerry Media was, you know, a huge part of promoting this. Mm-hmm. And apparently there are emails showing that they, you know, knew well ahead of time that it wasn't going to come together in the way that they were advertising. So
then they just pivoted to documentary making?
Yeah, I guess so. Making like, documentaries about themselves and how they weren't really culpable.
Yeah, it's really, really something. But so the Netflix one does kind of take a different focus a little bit. And yeah, I think you should see both. They're
totally
fine.
I think
companion
they really
pieces.
Work together.
They're fine companion pieces, and you should absolutely see both of them. I'm sorry, I'm very distracted right now trying to find Mike Brzezinski.
Oh, Mike Brzezinski.
Yeah.
Nick?
No, it's Mike, I think. I don't know. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. But let's get back to... I don't know.
I did write in my notes for the Netflix one, light green sweatshirt guy from Fire Media is a babe. Is that who we're
that's
talking about?
That's probably who.
Yeah, that guy was hot.
Yeah.
Okay. I was that when you the head of Jerry Media is a guy named Elliot Tabele, and he real punchable face.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was doing some deep diving on Mike Brzezinski last night. There is a Mrs. Brzezinski.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. He is the son of like Wilmington's mayor.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's neither here nor there. Let's get back to Billy McFarland. I think everyone, too, should really have taken a beat when your CEO is a grown man who refers to himself as Billy. Like, just, no. What
he does
other,
look like a Billy. Though.
What Billy's do? Billy Bush. Like, there's a legacy of shitty grown men Billy's.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, that's a real red flag. but, anyway... We haven't even really explained yet what Firefest was.
Oh,
or
I don't
supposed
think we need
to. I think we do, Jess. I think let's just go back. I don't know if anyone's been living under a rock. One thing that this really did highlight for me is also the real segregation of the internet. Like, I didn't know anything about Firefest until we were invited to be influencers, obviously.
Yeah.
But up to that point, I didn't know anything about it. I don't follow Bella Hadid. I don't follow Emily Ratajkowski.
There was nary an orange tile on my Instagram feed.
Yeah, nobody in my like hemisphere was talking about Firefest.
No.
And that's the one thing that I will give Billy McFarland is he is smart enough to direct his scams at rich people. It's a victimless crime, you guys. Except as the documentary showed, it wasn't actually a victimless crime.
Yeah.
Fuck all those
Bahamians
people.
Who have not been paid.
Bahamians who have not been paid. Employees of Fire Media who were left really holding the bag.
Oh,
from
yeah.
This, like
some of them
whim.
Took on personal debt.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of personal debt that you're saddled with at 23 after you've been charged with booking fucking Major Lazer for this festival that did not happen. But Firefest was supposed to be this festival, like a very exclusive elite festival on in the Bahamas that people bought tickets for. The tickets included like your private jet to the Bahamas. You could go for a tenting experience or you could go for a lodge or a house.
A villa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were add-on experiences such as like brunch with Kendall Jenner, things like that. None of these things actually, like, again, this just goes to show like you can put up a website that says anything. And
yeah,
none
and,
of these
and also
experiences
a lot of the
real.
Experiences were designed, it seems, to, you know, they were running out of cash to keep going. And so they would just come up with $250,000 experience and then sell it and then use that cash to keep going.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, well, we'll work out on the actual logistics of making any of this happen later. We just need quick cash.
There was footage of Billy McFarland saying, like, the two things we have going for us are, like, our people have a lot, like, the people have a lot of money and they want these experiences. And it's just, not to bag on millennials, because I know there's a lot of that, but it's, I don't know, there's, like, studies showing that millennials are into experiences, like, that's what they want to spend their money on, which mm-hmm. I'm personally in favor of, sure, do that versus, like, a status Fendi bag or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're a fucking idiot if you're flying to, like, the Bahamas to see Blink 182. Like,
yeah, that's weird.
Really weird. Like, yeah, it's one thing to fly to the Bahamas to go have brunch with Kendall Jenner. That's
is it?
I mean, that's not, I don't know, but, like,
see, that's the thing is, like, there's just so much. It just, the more people, the more the experience is loathsome, like a yacht or a brunch with Kendall Jenner or stuff like that, the more awesome it feels to see these people not get what they expected. But also, like, the whole idea of millennials wanting experiences, this is the perfect, like, this is really the quote-unquote experience we're talking about when we say that. We're not talking about, like, they want to travel to, like, see something, you know, new and exciting. It's they want something Instagrammable so they can show themselves having the experience to their followers. It's not about what they feel. It's about what they're doing to build their brand. And I find that loathsome.
Yes, that is very, very problematic. It's absolutely about what you can convey in your life, like, It's all about FOMO. Gia Tolentino said it, that, like, the dream of that generation is to, like, move past accountability, like, just to have, to gather all these experiences. Like, it's like a Pokemon in real life type thing. Like, it's just, like, I've Instagrammed my brunch, I've Instagrammed, like, my flight, I've Instagrammed this, like, I have to gather the next experience. And, that is, it's rife for people to capitalize on, and it's amazing that Firefest is really the first sort of exclusive thing that has failed.
Oh, I'm sure it's not. It's just the most spectacular public one.
Yeah
And of course it's just great, like, it all came, it's just a magical, like, inviting all these rich people who are specifically, like, Instagram influencers, like, getting those people to come, and then those people being the ones to document the spectacular downfall of the whole thing.
Well, not only that, but one of the things I found really interesting is they, in the Netflix documentary, they speak with this guy, Mark Weinstein, who was going to be doing yoga. Yep. But he was also coordinator.
Music festival coordinator. Consultant. Yeah, like an expert. And it was
like, but he was also roped him into doing yoga. Yeah. The thing that really floored me is these people, you see it a lot more in the Netflix documentary because they do get down to, like, the granular level of the people who were trying to organize it. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about how Billy McFarland was a tool and a scammer and a fucking idiot, but also probably genuinely thought, like, I'll just throw money at this and it'll happen. Like, he had never been pushed back against in his life. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to this in a minute, but they kept saying, like, how Billy could sell anything to anyone. Not in evidence in any of the footage I saw in either of the 3 hours of information I have now seen featuring Billy McFarland. But it was interesting to talk to people who did this and were the people who could generally make this happen, and knowing, like, at different points that this was going to fail, but yet still continuing. Like,
it's like a real situation.
Sunk cost fallacy. Like, I don't know, like, that you're just like, okay, well, these people are coming to the Bahamas, so I guess I'll teach them yoga. Like, you're just throwing in freebies at the end. Andy King, a delightful addition to the Netflix documentary, a very, very welcome addition, talks about how he has been an event planner for over 30 years. Normally you would need 12 months lead time to try to pull off an event like this, even in, like, a very, like, densely populated city. It's
someplace logistically with infrastructure.
Stick
of infrastructure, which this island nightmare did not have.
This island, which had changed multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
This eventual island that they ended up on, had no infrastructure, had nothing in place to service any of these people who had purchased tickets to arrive. But Andy King had been doing this for 30 years, and there is a whole thing that he relays about how he got a call from Billy McFarland saying that the water was stuck in customs, mm-hmm. the pallets of Evian that they had ordered, stuck in customs. They didn't have the
fees. Owed a huge fee.
Yeah, it was like $175,000 excise duty, and they could not get it out. And so Billy McFarland said, "We're going to need you to take one for the team. Like, mm-hmm. you need to go blow the head of customs." And Andy King, this seemingly, you mentioned he reminded you of Tim Gunn.
Yeah.
Like,
I was wondering the whole time, like, why do I sympathize with this one guy and literally no one else involved?
Yeah.
And I think it's because he reminds me of Tim Gunn.
Yeah. But this professional man who has coordinated these events for 30 years got in his car.
Yep.
Ready to go down.
So I actually have a question, your thoughts on this. Do you think the someone at customs was like, if someone comes and sucks my dick,
yes.
I will release yes. this water without yeah. $175,000. Or do you think it was Billy's idea?
Do you think
he said, Andy, I want you to go down there and do what it takes if it means blowing this guy?
I went back and forth on that.
Yeah.
Because I think that...
Because, so, he gets there and the guy, he was ready to do it. And the guy was like, no, just like, I don't know.
We just need to be paid when you get your money.
Yeah. And yeah. so that's made me think, like, oh, no, that was Billy.
Just fucking with him just to be a dick.
Just because he's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, he is such a, like, douche bro. And they were all saying that, like, Billy was kind of, like, this uncool guy, but yet charming. Literally none of that. Like, the uncool part was very much on display during both of these documentaries.
Yeah, he's real oafish. Like, a total mouth breather.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. And he had a weird... unattractive mouth, which is a real trigger for me. So that's when I was.
But yeah, the idea of being sort
of
like caught in this guy's like trajectory, like it's mystifying to me.
Yeah.
But I have like a bro immunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Cultivated over many years of bro exposure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like, it's, wow. Just the whole thing. I mean, the Netflix documentary, the Hulu documentary filled me with the same type of glee that I had reading about it initially. I was like, all these people are fucking idiots. And I stand by that. Anybody mm-hmm. that bought tickets to Firefest, fine, you're not an idiot. But like, whatever, you know, but none of those people were truly harmed. Like, there was a little discomfort. Fine, you're locked in a Bahamian airport overnight. Like, big deal. Some of them. And like, but nobody lost their house. Nobody, like, lost their job.
Yeah, no.
Nobody suffered any real world consequences from that. And anybody who, sure, maybe somebody, like, couldn't afford the, like, the whole experience or whatever. But, like, if you're dropping $4,000 to $12,000, fine. You've got
it. I don't feel sorry for a single ticket buyer.
Well, I also don't feel... I mean, the thing that was amazing is you see that guy Mark Weinstein talk about. He's like, we didn't have enough houses. We didn't have enough tents. I was telling them, you have to get the influencers out of here.
Yeah.
And, like, they wouldn't. There's this one... beautiful little girl who's like an influencer she appeared on both. She was interviewed for the Hulu documentary, not for the Netflix documentary. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I got there and there was a house. I felt really bad for everybody else who didn't have one. and she was in this like 8-bedroom house for the weekend and she didn't pay a goddamn cent. And so I don't know. You're all fucking idiots at that point. Like,
yeah, that guy was trying to like do damage control before the damage really started.
Yeah.
Like something Billy was not hearing it. And there was there was one moment where, when Billy comes up with some wire fraud thing where he literally scams $800,000 out of investors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a lifeline to keep things, like, things moving along. The next thing he decides is that he wants a pirate ship.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is falling apart. And he decides, like, oh, I want a pirate ship. And so people are like, okay, boss. Like, and then people who know that this is a terrible idea enable him.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh shit, this is the Trump.
Absolutely. I mean,
everything we watch now is a metaphor for the Trump administration.
The other thing is, at literally every turn, they were just like, this is falling apart. This is falling apart. Act of God, like, there was a horrendous storm the night before, and all the tents that they did have up at that point got completely ruined and soaked.
Yeah.
But the guy, everything was going wrong, and Billy just kept saying, like, we don't need your negativity.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need your negativity. Like, it's some alternate world that this guy is living in that, like, he has no internal monologue, or he's just completely unwilling to face the fact that, like, this is falling apart.
Yeah, and it's him and everyone else who's like in social media scammer. They think they can create their own reality. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, if you're surrounded by enough enablers like Billy is, you don't feel the fallout from your failures. Or more often than not, like, the stakes are so low, you know, because it's just creating this facade and it doesn't really matter, you know, like, you literally do create your own reality when you are when you're Instagram famous, you know?
Yeah, but Billy wasn't Instagram famous.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about it's all like the same generation of like form over style over substance.
Yeah, and the same thing with tech. I mean, that was the creating whole thing nothing. Is like you're creating.
You're getting people to pay for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I once paid $250 for a Real Housewives Bitmoji pack.
Sure. Like, sure.
There may have been drinking involved, but you know, someone got my $250, and that's just like
tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg.
You'll be hearing from Jessica's lawyers, is what we're gonna say. That's the big, also the other realization from this is, like, rich people will lose their money and not hesitate to sue, but the Bahamian lady who had to pay all of her staff $50,000 from her personal savings account is just left holding the bag. Yep. And, you know, the $5 million settlement that the rich people got that they will never see, probably, because Billy doesn't have $5.
Yeah. That's an IOU that we'll never get.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's really something, guys. We're going to go to another song, and then when we come back, we'll talk some more about Firefest. Okay, so this is, we're going to go play one of the headliners for that weekend, who pulled out at the last minute. So,
oh no,
for
we're not going to hear Blink-182.
Anyone who missed Firefest, this one goes out to you guys.
Best trip always, I know.
right. That was Blink 182, All the Small Things.
We're just doing our part to help everyone recoup their losses from Firefest. Yeah. And to help Ja Rule pay his legal bills.
Yeah, it turned out the small things were the tents. But let's touch on Blink 182 really quick, briefly, and the only time I will ever touch anything on Blink 182. But they, like, morning of Blink 182 sent out a release saying, like, we're pulling out of Firefest. And in the Hulu documentary, you see, like, this one influencer guy. I'm proud to report I didn't know any of those influencers who were interviewed, but.
Me either.
The one influencer guy is like, we're in the airport, and it's like, Blink 182 pulled out. Should we still go? Should we still get on the plane? And I'm like, yeah, you've got bigger stuff going on in your life if, like, Blink 182 is your deciding factor for either doing or not doing something. Mm-hmm. So they all went in the end. They got what they deserved.
Can we talk about Seth Krosno, I think his name is?
Yes,
he appeared in both documentaries. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated by this character. He was like a faux influencer. Mm-hmm. Like, he had started a fake Instagram account, or I guess like a parody Instagram account about his town. Like, he's from Raleigh, North Carolina or something, and then decided to be like an influencer and somehow ended up at Firefest. And I presumed that his faux influencer thing was so big that he got an invite and ended up, you know, in this sort of Lindsay Lohan in Mean Girls trajectory of, like, going there to infiltrate the plastics, but then becoming one of them. And I thought that was an interesting story of, like, trying to glom onto this whole thing as, like, someone who's observing it from a
satirical
standpoint.
Ended up paying for his ticket.
He did. And so now I'm wondering, like, this guy's just actually a rich guy who sits around and tries to make.
He is a rich guy who sits around. He's really known on social media as this fictional character, William Needham Finley IV.
Yes.
That was his sort of, like, parody social media thing that, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Hulu said that was his.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he was actually famous influencer, for that,
but
though.
Yeah, I don't think he was either. He's the person who brought the lawsuit and was awarded $5 million, which he'll never see, but whatever.
But he was in, like, this is his life now. Like, he was in both these documentaries, and he's starting a podcast called Dumpster Fire.
Oh.
It's forthcoming. But, yeah, I'll probably listen to it.
Well, see, it's scammers all the fucking way down, Jess. I mean, what makes Seth Krosno profiting from this any better than...
Hey, we just watched two Firefest documentaries. Why would you betray Seth Krosno?
Also, I was just going to say, coins. Seth, we would love to have you on the show at any time. You're always welcome. Friend of the pod.
One podcaster to another.
friend of the show. You
come
are
on
welcome
the show.
On TV, on the radio at any
tell
point.
Us about your experience, and tell us how to turn our show into a podcast.
I think we... I don't think he needs to tell us about his experience. I think everybody saw it.
Yeah, twice.
Twice, yeah. But I bet
he has stuff that's solid gold that didn't end up in a
something probably ended up on the cutting floor. But can we talk about the one guy, I did not catch his name, who told in harrowing detail about how it all went wrong, and he said, you know, at night it got real scary. And so then this jackal proceeds to, they were slashing tents around them because they didn't want any neighbors.
So what,
it's
the fuck?
Just this,
to
like,
admit to that.
Lord of the Rings,
Lord
of the whatever. They were all hobbits. They were all terrible people. Orcs, every one of them. But, like, to admit to that, to have the actual balls to say, so we were just trying to find our tent. We didn't want any neighbors, so we were slashing all the tents around us, and it was a real disaster. I wonder,
like,
why. Like,
you
maybe
talk
you're...
about mob mentality and how people, like, mm-hmm. devolve into animals when they're in this, like, group and chaos is breaking out. But, like, that really suggests that these people are just monsters.
Yeah.
Just to, like... It wasn't, you know, mob mentality or Lord of the Flies. They're just assholes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It really highlighted, too, like, rich people's intolerance for any discomfort is, like, they were talking about how some people headed straight back to the airport, which makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be like, okay, this is a bus, let's GTFO, or let's try to book into Sandals next door, which yeah. nobody could do. But
Sandals probably got the National Guard.
Yeah, Sandals build a wall real quick. Yeah. So you see, like, some people head back, and even with that, they eventually, 16 hours after they get to the airport, some people get on a flight, and then there's the manifest doesn't match because there's 113 people on the flight and there's 112 on the manifest. So there's one rich asshole yep, who is getting out of there at any expense. Like, I do not care that I am inconveniencing an entire flight crew, which had to be switched out, that I'm inconveniencing 112 other people. Like, I need to get out of here, and my needs trump everything.
Yeah. That's when it should have turned into a Lord of the Flies situation.
Oh, people should have been
and put his head on a stick.
Everybody should have been taken to the edge of the door of the plane, held over it, and told and like made to produce their goddamn ticket at that point. It would have been straight up martial law, and it would have been real messy. I would have gotten real country real quick. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But it was a real shit show, but not in any true damaging way. Like, Andy King, that guy who mm-hmm. was, again, willing to blow somebody for water. not even for water, just to get it out of customs. But he was like, oh, so many of us had to, like, grapple with the real PTSD. And I can see how, like, maybe being involved in that, you would feel not true PTSD, like, but guilt that you have ruined this island, that you have ruined these people who worked for weeks and weeks without pay, and that you've left this giant. They also left, like, they literally left in the middle of the night and left this island littered with these FEMA tents and, like, mattresses strewn all over the island.
Boxes, trash,
like, people's luggage. There were tales of, like, sexual harassment, obviously, because these are all rich assholes. But yeah, like, wow, just really unbelievable. That any, if you went to Firefest, Jess, would you admit it?
I mean, I feel like no.
Yeah,
but if I went to Firefest, it would be a different person. Like, probably the type of person who would never stop talking about it.
Oh, yeah. You would have had that orange tile up for the entire 6 weeks prior, too. That would have been your countdown. I would have had a live stream of my countdown to Firefest because, yeah, you'd be a totally different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to answer that question.
But also, like, how fitting is it to that, again, these influencers who are not paying for the experience end up in, like, an 8-bedroom house, and then people who mm-hmm. did actually pay for it, like, end up in a FEMA tent, if even.
That's about right.
Yeah. All deserved it. All of them. But that's why the world is broken. Like, why? Why do these people, just because you're pretty, like, why do you get...
This really hit home, especially in the Netflix documentary. I feel like the Hulu documentary focused more on that promotional video that kicked off the whole, mm-hmm. like, social media firestorm. And so it was, like, Kendall Jenner, Bella Hadid, like, three or four other Instagram models that I've never heard of, but apparently are very, very famous mm-hmm. in this.
You've,
like,
heard of Hailey Baldwin.
I have heard of Hailey Baldwin. Also, just, like, the number of them that are just spawn of extremely wealthy parents. Oh, yeah. Like, that's how you become, quote unquote, famous.
That and plastic surgery.
So they made this video. The story of the video shoot itself was kind of a disaster, but it came together in what was apparently a very compelling promotional video. And, like, even now, the way people talk about how gorgeous this video was and, like, what the reverence with which they speak about it suggests that, like, six skinny white girls is, like, the most powerful influence in the entire world. What if Hailey Baldwin and Kendall Jenner and whoever else those people were got to get together to try to do something worthwhile? Can you fucking imagine?
No. Because that would literally never happen.
They wouldn't sell out like that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's like, let's end world hunger, SpawnCon. Like, yeah. They, that's not in their purview. But it was, we have let Ja Rule skate on this, which, let's talk about Ja Rule briefly.
Ja Rule. What is there to say?
Ja Rule hitched his wagon to Billy McFarlane's Star.
Mm-hmm. Starting back in the Magnesis days,
yeah. And he then went on to tell on himself after, like, professing that he, you know, oh, I was really just a spokesperson, like, I wasn't involved. And then you see sort of how intricately he was involved, and ended up going on, like, this drinking show on the radio where he ended up getting drunk and then saying, like, it was all my vision, it was my, thing or whatever. Ja Rule, just keep your mouth shut, okay?
Both him and Billy, their lawyers must be shitting bricks. Like, the idea that Billy gave an interview, I know that he was already sentenced for the criminal aspect, mm-hmm. but he's still being sued, I presume, and for many civil... And that shit, like, talking on camera is crazy. But he got paid for that. And so I'm sure in classic Billy McFarlane fashion, he was like, take the cash now, fuck whatever happens.
Oh, later. Yeah. He had already, like, he had bought that penthouse. And then he, he was staying in a penthouse. The Hulu documentary had the amazing line. There was also the scam when he got back. He was out on bail and he started sending NYC events.
VIP access.
Yeah. Trying to sell tickets to the Met Ball, which, look, come on.
I mean, fuck anyone who thinks they can buy tickets to the Met Gala.
That's the other thing. I do not live in New York. I am not part of, I'm unlikely to ever get an invitation to the Met Ball. But I know you cannot buy a goddamn invite to the Met Ball. Yeah. Like, I know you can't buy it.
And they tried to sell tickets to the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Another thing that you cannot buy tickets to.
Yeah. But anyway, awesome. So he just continues this scam. And then the whole thing has this... Like, somebody's in voiceover saying, like, normally when you're out on bail is when you want to do the least crimes.
So good.
So good and so true. Yeah. That, but not Billy.
Nope.
Not Billy. Because he's just like, we got to fund this penthouse. And also, you see him, he hired a videographer after all this to mm-hmm. document all of that for some reason. And he said, you see the videographer talking about, like, I wasn't sure, like, what I was doing, why I was there. I didn't know what this guy was, what his deal was. You see Billy about to commit a crime, and he's like, no, don't film this. Yeah. Like, it's just, and he said at one point, Billy said, like, all I know is the more footage, the better. Right. Because, like, it worked out once for him to have a lot of footage that could be cobbled together into this ad that made you millions that,
Also noted as there without any explanation or follow-up, Chuck Schumer's press secretary.
Yes! Yes.
Who, as of this morning before I walked here, has not commented on his appearance in the Fire documentary.
We received a tweet from listener Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Thanks for listening all the way down there in L.A. Ja Rule shouldn't be held accountable because as a Leap baby, he's only 10 years old. I mean, it's as good a reason as any I've heard for why Josh shouldn't be held accountable. I personally think Josh shouldn't be held accountable.
Wait, Alyssa, are you his legal representation?
Yeah. I personally think he shouldn't be held accountable because it's the only time that a black man is not being held accountable for it. Like,
a white man's
somewhere
crimes.
In the vicinity and he's not being held directly accountable. So, yeah, he should skate as long as he can. And also, he didn't actually commit any wire fraud that anyone can prove. I mean,
that was Billy's area of expertise.
Ja Rule was just trying to live that living like rock stars, partying, oh or no, God. Living like movie stars, partying like rock stars, and Billy.
What was it? Fucking like porn stars. Ugh, which people think they're clever.
Again,
saying that, giving that toast multiple times and being in a room where a bunch of people laugh and clap. That's exactly what goes wrong. That's what creates Firefest.
Oh, yeah.
Being surrounded by people who never tell you you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, and what I was, like, wowed by was during that toast, you see Ja Rule give this toast and you hear Billy in the background with his, like, fucking, like, porn stars. Okay, no. Like, ew. but there was, like, this older white lady just like sitting there sort of hesitantly raising her glass. But yes, this is your time, lady. This is when you speak up. Like, this is, yeah, it's, ooh, wow. Just really, the takeaway is it was all worth it for everybody who wasn't at Firefest.
I'm going to write Billy a thank you note. Like, yeah. This is the greatest gift that we have received in 2019.
Since 2016,
so far.
Actually. Yeah, it's the most, yeah. The most vicarious enjoyment I've had. I really, again, strongly urge you to watch both. Cause
totally.
It's,
yeah, we've talked about like which one was better, and I honestly, I feel like they both have their focuses, and I don't think I'd recommend one over the other.
No, and as you said, I would watch 8 more totally. Right away. I did see a tweet this morning that said, I now demand all my documentaries to have another one that I can watch immediately afterwards, and I do. I feel like documentaries would be improved if you had more information about it.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find a picture of Mike Pryszynski, because I really want to tweet this out and get your guys.
Why don't
we're going to crowdsource whether or not he's hot.
If it's the guy I'm thinking of, he's a smoke show.
Okay.
But I typed in all iterations of that name, and I can't.
I was doing some deep diving last night, and it's not coming up in my history for some reason. So maybe he's erased himself from the internet.
Oh, maybe.
It's
a service more and more of us are going to be needing going forward.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have anything else you want to say about Billy, about Ja, about Bella Hadid, about the FCC, about the FBI, about anybody who was involved?
I can't wait for next year's Firefest, you guys.
It's going to be bigger and better than... we didn't even talk about Evan. Was his name Evan? The little dweeby guy who finagled his way into Fire Media and then... or Dana?
I'm not remembering.
I don't know. The little, the nerdy little guy who said, you know, it's not that I'm a perfectionist, but everything has to be perfect. And everybody who was associated with him in the Hulu documentary they talked about.
Oh, is this that guy who was obviously on cocaine? Grant?
Grant.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Grant was only focused on in the Hulu documentary as like Billy's partner, but... At one point, he sent...
But he was the partner because he sent Billy an email complaining about the Magnesis card, and then he was like, okay, come on board, fix
everything.
Oh, really?
Everything. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He sent an email soliciting music for the promo video, and they said it was a thousand-word email.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Outlining what he was looking for, and I was like, oh, that's cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't... If you want someone to read your email, and this is my... a professional lifetime of like all I need is for people to just read my email.
Yeah.
22 words max.
Yes. Brevity is key.
1,000 words. Delete.
Brevity is key should be everybody's next tattoo, by the way. I don't know. We are also people who have now filled 53 minutes talking about Billy McFarlane. So who are we to talk?
It's our job.
We once did it.
We're content creators. We have created more in this 53 minutes than Billy McFarlane did by contracting the entire island of Exumas.
That is true. That is true. But, you know, in that same everything is broken in the world. We did once do a show about Gossip Girl where I spouted theories about Blake Lively's hair for maybe 14 minutes of that entire
Part of that hour. Was talking about coral lipstick also.
Oh, sure. Yeah, not to be understated.
You know what? No one bought tickets for that episode of TV
it's
on
true.
The radio.
It's
okay,
true.
We didn't
Nobody
sell
did.
A VIP package to listen to it from a villa in an abandoned, you know...
So, Jess, I think
but
this is
for
good,
next weekend.
Yeah,
you guys.
This is a good time to announce our TV on the Radio Fest. You can. What are our experiences that we're going to sell, Jess?
The Mimosa Tent.
Oh, sure.
The limited number of tickets
yes.
for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Homes or Cristalino, not affiliated with Cristal. Also not sponsored.
Not yet. Working on that partnership.
Yeah.
There will be limited edition hoodies that I upcycle from my closet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They will all be hand created by us. Mm-hmm. Much in the spirit of
distressed.
Let's talk about scammers for a minute, because if you guys aren't familiar with the Caroline Calloway saga.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
It does feed into this
it's very similar.
This world now. We truly could have a TV on the Radio Fest. I mean, we could have There's the greatest actor of our,
like this idea.
There's the greatest actor of our generation tent. There's the mimosa tent. There is the beshirted tent for people we want to see shirted and people we don't want to see shirted. We've got a lot. We have a lot of ideas. There's the also this parallels to Trump tent. Like we can really make a whole thing out of this.
Uh-huh.
But Caroline Calloway, if you guys are not familiar, in this era of constant content,
constant content. I've had that tea this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. In this era of that, there is a 26-year-old maybe influencer, apparently, mm-hmm. Who decided to do a series of seminars. And the seminars, she again sold tickets without having venues.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a nationwide tour.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets were $165, so not quite the $12,000 Firefest limit. But tickets were $165. She had she was planning on coming to Denver, to San Francisco, mm-hmm. All DC. Over DC. She's based in New York, so the first event was held in New York. It started off where she was going to make flower crowns for every attendee.
You tipped me off to this, mm-hmm. and like I was reading it. I was actually standing in line at the dollar store with my grandma,
mm-hmm.
reading this whole Twitter thread.
Yeah.
Like you guys really should just read the Twitter thread that documents it, yes. in real time.
We'll tweet it out. It's from Kaylee Donaldson, and who's it's a journalist. Wild ride.
And yeah. I was reading the Eventbrite description, and I was like, oh, this is like a parody. I read the entire thing thinking this has to be a parody. It is wild. And yet, just to like, just try to, since we're running out of time, she is just an Instagram person who, and she's trying to translate that into these seminars about authenticity and selling your art and like, mm-hmm. literally just all these buzzwords of nonsense.
Yeah.
And like, it's, people have compared it to Firefest because she's just a fucking scammer.
Mason jars are involved. I mean, but yes. We'll tweet it out. We also just received a tweet. I feel very attacked and also very seen from listener Steven, who said there's the delightful tent.
tent.
Yes, the delightful tent will be the top tier tent, obviously.
It's going to be a greenhouse filled with like hanging plants.
And mason jars.
cocktails and mason jars and something. Candles. People love candles.
People do love candles. I don't know, but
we'll work on it, you guys.
Yeah,
I'm really liking
stay
this
tuned.
Idea.
Yeah, stay tuned for more info about the TV on the Radio Fest, and don't forget to get your TVOTR bands that you can preload with money. just go ahead and preload that before you even buy the ticket. We'll tweet out a link.
Plan
in a little
for like
bit.
$3,000 to $5,000.
About
there's a lot
that.
Of good merch
about that.
And this is a cashless event.
Yes.
Because you will have given us all your cash before it starts.
Yeah. So again, in summation, Firefest, such a thrill.
A plus.
Such A++ would do business again. Absolutely. For all your schadenfreude needs, I demand that you spend the rest of Sunday watching both documentaries. Mm-hmm. They're both worth your time. And I hope that Billy, I don't know, can leverage his time in jail to think about what he has done and come up with a new scam when he's out.
Oh, I'm positive he will.
I am definitely buying tickets for the next Billy McFarlane Ja Rule event. All right, so that was our show about Firefest, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, stay tuned to TV on the Earth. Not stay tuned to BFF.FM. Keep it here all day Sunday. We'll be coming at you with more shows.
Yeah.
Lots of content. Really happening content. Nobody has canceled or pulled out. So keep it here on BFF.FM. We'll be back next week with more TV on the Radio. Jess, do you have any final words to say?
I just want to thank all my fans and my haters. you guys have really taught me about resilience and positive thinking. And I would like to say to all my hate followers.
Also, we cannot comment on any ongoing legal matters. We'll be back next week. Stand up like a soldier, baby.